I want to invite you to turn to that psalm that we just sang, Psalm 107. We'll be reading the whole psalm together this morning. As we indeed observe the steadfast love of the Lord in these various testimonies of his goodness that are pictured here in Psalm 107. It's good to meditate on God's word on this Thanksgiving day, to be reminded especially of his goodness to us in Christ and of his steadfast love. We read of that here in Psalm 107, this beautiful psalm of thanksgiving for God's goodness. Psalm 107, beginning in verse 1. Here we read, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and they're at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and so he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns the rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they might yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they greatly multiply, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord." Well, may the Lord indeed help us this morning to understand and to meditate upon his loving kindness to us as we think about this psalm. Well, ever since our kids were able to repeat words, we've been teaching them mealtime prayers. And the first prayer that we have taught them is quite simple. It's simply, "Father, thank you for my food and for Jesus. Amen." And usually they do a pretty good job in simply repeating after myself or my wife, Brooke. But if we let them pray on their own, sometimes the prayer can be altered a little bit, especially when they're especially hungry. the prayer can sometimes be shortened to just a few words, Father, my food, amen. And ever so quickly, they begin to leave out the words, Jesus, and thank you. And I don't pretend to know their hearts or to read their hearts and minds when they pray, but I do know that something is true of them because it's true of me and it's true of you. And that is that our hearts, they struggle to give thanks to God. They struggle to meditate upon who God is and to give him thanks, especially for Jesus. Our eyes can so easily move off of God and how glorious he is, and they could simply move on right to that food that's in front of us or to the issues before our eyes. And even in our prayers, we often tend, don't we, just to pray about our needs, to pray about our issues, to pray about our work and our families. And sometimes we forget to simply pause and say, thank you for who you are, God. And thank you for Jesus and what you have done for me in Christ. Well, this psalm before us is a psalm of thanksgiving, and it highlights before us the goodness of God towards his people. And there's a divine call that comes through this psalm to observe, to stop and meditate on the loving kindness of the Lord. You hear that refrain, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And that is what we want to do on this Thanksgiving Day. We've come to lift up our songs of praise to God. We've come to give him our prayers, and he is worthy of all praise. But we also come to observe, don't we, to observe his mercy to us in Jesus Christ, which we see revealed in the Word. And as we consider this psalm, we see there's four pictures of God's salvation in Christ. Psalm 107 begins, as you see here, a new section in the book of Psalms, book 5, we're told here. Scholars note that this psalm was probably a celebration of God's people Israel when they came out of exile. Notice verse 2, they were those who have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. They've been gathered again, once again, to God himself. And this psalm then would have been on their lips as they remembered the wilderness generation, as they remembered God's deliverance in Egypt, as they remembered their own exile. This psalm would be on their lips. And this is our story as well as the Church of Jesus Christ. Israel is really a microcosm of all humanity. And as we look at this picture, these various pictures of salvation, we see our own story. There's four pictures, as I mentioned, and each of these pictures that have a basic structure to them. First, there's a calamity of some sorts, and then there's a cry to God for help and deliverance, and then there's salvation by the hand of God, and there's a call to thanksgiving for what God has done, and then there's a lesson about God's sovereignty and about his goodness. And so let's consider these pictures. It's a bit of a briefer meditation this morning, but I trust it will encourage our hearts as we see ourselves in God's word here. Notice the first picture in verse 4. It's the picture of wilderness. Wilderness. Notice the calamity. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. It sounds a bit like Abraham. You might remember in Genesis 12 when God called him to go to the promised land, and suddenly when he got there, a famine hit the land and there was no food, and he left that place and went to Egypt. It sounds like Israel in the wilderness for those many years. It sounds like David, doesn't it? In Psalm 63, you remember when he was fleeing from his life and he found himself in the wilderness, physically thirsty, but also spiritually thirsty. God, I thirst after you. My soul, it longs for the living God. This is really the story of God's people whenever we find ourselves in the wilderness. And what do you do when you find yourself in that particular season of life? Verse 13, they cried out to him. They called out to God, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Notice verse 7, he led them by the hand through the wilderness and gave them a home, a dwelling place. And so there's a summons in this first picture to give thanks to God, to praise him, because he is the God who, even in the wilderness, satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry with good things. In a very important sense, beloved, our Christian life, our pilgrim life, as it were, it's a life lived through the wilderness. We have been delivered from bondage, haven't we? We've been brought out of sin. If we are Christians here today, God has delivered us once for all from the domain of darkness, from sin, and the bondage to sin. But we're not yet in the promised land, that is, heaven. We're still on the way. We're united to Jesus Christ. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're given the hope of that new creation to come. It's even experienced within our lives, but we're not yet what we ought to be. We're not yet where we ought to be. We're in the wilderness. And so in this wilderness, we can experience, with the psalmist describes here, we could experience times of spiritual dryness, where God seems far away, where his promises seem distant, or they seem like they're maybe not for us at all. And I wonder in this past year, beloved, if you have gone through a type of spiritual dryness described here, where you were thirsty and hungry for God, but he seemed so far away. When you are weary in the Christian life and you just felt like thrown in the towel or just laying down and giving up altogether for what God had called you to. And the psalm is a reminder to us, beloved, about how God has led each one of us through the wilderness of this past year. All of us find ourselves here thirsty spiritually and hungry for God. And we struggle this side of heaven. And we're reminded here, God has once again shown himself faithful to lead us through the wilderness. That here we are on this Thanksgiving day, giving praise to God that we sit here in his presence, being reminded of his goodness. Even as we reflect on this past year, we remember how God has filled our souls. And he's quenched our thirst with good things, even as we make our journey through the wilderness to our eternal home. The first picture here of God's salvation, the reason we praise God is he has sustained us through the wilderness once again. So we're called to give thanks to him. But notice the second picture in verse 10 through 16. It's the picture of darkness, of the wilderness, and then we have darkness. The calamity here, notice, it has to do with being in chains or in bondage, being on death row, as it were. And why is that? Why the chains? Why the bondage of this picture? Well, verse 11, because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High because of sin. This was our first parents, Adam and Eve, bringing bondage and sin and chains upon themselves and upon humanity because of sin and being exiled from the presence of God. But this is Israel's story. Again, Israel was sent into that dark night of exile because they rebelled against God. The Lord was faithful to them. He brought them through the wilderness, and he brought them into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of abundant provision. But even from that place of abundance, they despised Joshua's counsel and did not serve the Lord. And as a result, they were exiled from the land. They were called to live under foreign nations. But from that place of exile, the psalmist tells us, they cried out to the Lord in their darkness. They cried out during that dark night of exile, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. And the psalmist reminds them, it reminds us, the Lord heard his people's prayers in the darkness, and he rescued them in their distresses. Notice how the visual picture here puts it. He broke their chains. He cut the bars of iron in two. That is, he is a God who is mighty to save his people when there is no one else to help. He is the God who hears prayer in the dark night of exile. And this is what we repeated from Psalm 116 in our responsive reading. This is our story, along with the story of many Christians of old, where we read here in Psalm 116, verse 16, O Lord, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have reason to praise the Lord and to thank him this morning because Emmanuel, God with us, has appeared in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago to once for all break those chains of sin and to bring us out of darkness, spiritual darkness. That we might not go through this life blinded by sin, held captive under Satan as children of wrath. But Jesus has come to lead us out of darkness, to break the chains of sin and death. As we often sing from that great hymn, And Can It Be? He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoners free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. We were those who were in darkness because of our sin, because we rebelled against the word of the Most High God. And we had no power to save ourselves. And we were born into this world. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins. But the psalmist is reminding us now, because of Christ, we have been brought into the light. And so we have reasons to praise God, to give thanks to God for rescuing us from the shadow of death. As Christians, we still struggle with sin. We still battle sin every year, every day we struggle, but God's word reminds us we are no longer bound by sin. We're no longer chained to it, but we are, verse 2, we are the redeemed, the rescued, the restored, the ones brought out of slavery. And isn't it true, as we reflect upon even this last year, we can even think about how God has worked in our lives to help us graciously by the power of the Spirit within us, to destroy and continue to break the power of sin in our life, to lead us away from those sinful habits, those sinful lifestyles that once bound us. God has worked in our lives to sanctify us, to break the power of sin. And so we're summoned to give thanks to God. He is the God who leads us through the wilderness, and he's the God who leads us out of darkness. But notice the third picture. The third picture here in verse 17, very similar to the last one. It's the picture of foolishness, wilderness, darkness, and foolishness. Here we read verse 17, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Again, it's similar to the last picture. God, people were fools, notice, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities. And so what did God do? We're told here he disciplined them. Notice, he afflicted them because of their sin in order that they might turn to them. He didn't punish them in his wrath, but he disciplined them as his children. And when they were afflicted, even to the point of death, we're told here, what did they do? They turned to God. They cried out to the Lord in their distress, and he heard them. Notice, he sent first a word of affliction to humble them that they might turn. But then notice verse 20, he sent another word and he healed them. He restored them. Therefore, they are summoned to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, to declare his works with rejoicing. Again, this is our story, isn't it? We have all acted foolishly in our sin. We have been careless with our words, as we heard yesterday evening. We have not displayed always godly conduct, even as God's redeemed people. We've never been as faithful as we ought to in the things that God has called us to, in our homes or in our works, in our own personal devotion, in the church, to our neighbor. And I'm sure looking back on this past year, we can all recall things that we're ashamed of. We can look back at moments in our lives, even this past year, and say, Lord, I was so foolish. I was so foolish and ignorant in my sin. But the psalmist says, look, we're called to thank God for his wonderful works to his children of men, because he's convicted us of that. He has disciplined us as his children. His law has come and has said, no, this is not how you are to live. And we have seen ourselves in God's law. And by his grace, we've repented of our sin because he's disciplined us as children. And then God has brought to us that word of healing, the word of the gospel, reminding us of what he's done for sinners, of our identity in Christ. Reminded that God has not given us up to ourselves. He has not given us up to our foolishness. Thanks be to God. And so the psalmist says, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He's delivered us from our foolishness. He's brought us through the wilderness. He's broken the chains of sin. And the final picture here, he delivers from the great waters, the wilderness, darkness, foolishness, and finally, the great waters. Verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. In this final calamity, we see the great waters threatening God's people. The people of the Lord here are on a ship, going about ordinary business, and suddenly a stormy wind threatens them and roars before them. Notice it says he brings them all the way up to the heavens and then all the way down to the depths. This is an epic storm that God's people are in. And notice what the psalm says, they're at their wits' end. They have nothing left to go to do to battle this storm. No amount of training or skill or human effort could keep them safe in this storm. They're completely done. They're at the end of themselves. And so what do? Again, like the other pictures, they cry out to the Lord in their helplessness, in their trouble. And the Lord hears them and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm so that the waves are still, and then he brings them, the psalmist says, to a safe haven. This is our story, beloved. This is your story this morning. The Gospel of Mark tells us of a similar account in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following, when the disciples were out in the water with Jesus and a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat and the disciples were at their wits' end. And what did they do? They cried out to Jesus, who was sleeping. And they said, "Jesus, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? We're about to die. What are you doing sleeping?" And Jesus says, Psalm 107, verse 29, "Peace, be still." Jesus is the sovereign God of Psalm 107, whose words bring rest and stillness to the storm. And this is our God, the psalmist is saying. This is our story as God's people in all generations. Have you found yourself in a storm this past year, beloved? Have you found yourself at your wit's end, stressed and overwhelmed with circumstances, with work, with issues, with people, with commitments, with personal trials? All of us have been there at some point, at our wit's end, haven't we? Saying to God, perhaps, even in our prayers or maybe in our hearts, "Lord, don't you care that I'm perishing? Don't you care that I'm in such distress? At least it feels like I'm perishing." But God has watched over your life. He has seen you through the storm, storm after storm after storm. God has been with you. He has heard your prayers in the middle of the night. He has heard your prayers out of distress when you were at your wit's end. God heard your prayers, and he's guided you through the storm. He's been with you. And so the psalmist is saying, praise the Lord. He's heard your prayers. Give him thanks. Therefore, he says, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of elders. We have reasons to praise the Lord, because God has seen us through the storms of this past year. The psalmist concludes here in verse 33 through the end. He's saying, do you see how great the Lord is? Do you see how awesome he is? Verse 33, he's sovereign over the wilderness. Verse 34, he's sovereign over those times of fruitfulness and barrenness. Verse 40, he's the sustainer of, or verse 36, he's the sustainer of your life when you're in the trial. Verse 40, he's sovereign over the rulers of the earth. God is not only sovereign and all-powerful in every season of life, both good and bad. He's not only sovereign over the trials, the psalmist says, but he's actually for you in Jesus Christ. He's for your good. And he has shown himself faithful to you over this past year. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has been so good to us. He's brought us through the wilderness of another year. He's worked in our lives this past year to break the power of sin in our lives. He's rescued us from our own folly. He hasn't treated us as our sins deserve and given us up to ourselves. And he's cared for our lives in his providence by seeing us through the storms of life. And so notice verse 42 and how it closes then. Whoever is wise will observe these things and will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May we not run to our food or to our troubles and forget to say thank you to God. May we take time today and every day to observe and remember the loving kindness of the Lord. May we make much of Christ in our prayers, make much of Christ in our songs. The psalmist says, may we rejoice in God with great rejoicing. Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks to him, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our great Father in heaven, you are the only God, and you are great and glorious. And we pray that you would indeed give us eyes to observe the loving kindness of the Lord today. Give us hearts that are filled with great rejoicing. Lord, help us not to pass over too quickly the many blessings, Lord, that you have lavished upon us, especially those in Christ. Thank you for guiding us by the hand this past year, bringing us through the wilderness of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for how you've sanctified us and grown us in Christ and breaking the power of sin in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for how you bring us out of darkness and how you lead us in the ways of Christ, and don't give us up to our foolishness. And thank you, Lord, for being the God who can calm the storms, that even when we're at our wits' end, Lord, when we have no strength and power and energy, that you are the God who says in Christ, be still. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to know that you're with us and for us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you in this way, who's not connected to Christ, Father, help them to see the greatness of the God who has made them, and help them, Lord, to turn away from sin and to look to Jesus Christ for their own salvation, even today, that they might today begin to give thanks to you from their hearts as well. Would you hear our prayers this morning, Lord? Continue to fill our songs of praise with great joy and bless us today in all of our celebrations. May it be to your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.